This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hi again, everyone. I'm Freddie Bell. Glad you're with us this weekend. I'm glad every time anybody can be with us because we put a lot of time and energy in order to help you to make sound decisions and move on some advice that we share with you. You may decide not to take the advice that we share, but the whole idea is to be a thought stimulator for you. And to help us in that discussion this weekend is our co-host on the program, Mr. Joe McKenzie. He is the founder of Ripple Connects. His company has this knack of turning candidates into contenders. If you like to go to websites, you can. You go to rippleconnects.com, or you can find him online at 763-438-1621. Good morning, Joe McKenzie. Welcome back.
Thank you, Freddie Bell. How are you today?
Unbelievable. I'm excited about our topic, and I'll tell you why. Because we're talking about basing important career decisions by focusing on your long-term professional growth. And I think sometimes people get lost in the here and now, which is perfect. You know, it's important to live in the now moment. But I think having that long view is really important as well. So talk about compensation and the prestige that you may get from your that right now moment, and match that up, if you can, with that long view, Joe McKenzie.
Absolutely, Freddie Bell. You know, many of us, and I've been there, you base a lot of your career decisions based upon, hey, am I going to make more money? Am I going to have a bigger title, more opportunity for authority, manage more, a bigger budget, what have you? Those are all good things. We've all been there. Mm-hmm. And I still think that's a key component of anybody's career. But I can add to that, if you do not use some of those decision-making, critical thinking skills to include long-term professional growth, you may see the short-term effect of that, that enhanced compensation wear out over time. And what I mean by that is, if you're not challenged, if you're not learning new skills, and if you don't look for that growth piece, you may end up in an industry that's contracting, and all of a sudden, even though you got a big title, you got more compensation, but you didn't have that growth. That's the short-term effect. The long-term effect is look for those opportunities to complement the compensation and the more a larger role. But Freddie, professional growth can pay dividends for decades afterwards if you're allowed to grow, if you're allowed to be challenged, if you're allowed to get out of your comfort zone to do new things. Mm-hmm. That can pay long-term dividends over time. And it's almost like you're investing in yourself when you make that type of decision. Is it scary at that moment? Yes. I took over a nonprofit just 90 days short of a pandemic. Never had written a grant before. Mm-hmm. I had never led an organization before. I never got up in front of a crowd and talked about an organization as the leader. All those three things occurred in the last 19 months. Because of that, I'm much more confident in my leadership skills, my writing skills, everything that goes with it. Will pay dividends for the rest of my career because I got that opportunity for growth. And that's where I want to go with it today. Not just compensation and prestige or a shorter commute or what have you. Let's talk about that opportunity and make those good career decisions based upon complementary professional growth.
Everybody, we're talking with Joe McKenzie this morning about basing important career decisions by focusing on the long term, that long view, professional growth. But how can you be discerning when this wonderful opportunity is in front of you? Maybe the money is modest, maybe it's really good, but how can you take a look and see that it can benefit you down the road over time? How do you make those kind of decisions? How can you look?
Let's go back to the discerning piece. I think every job seeker should be very discerning just by looking at a job description or looking at a compensation package is just the short term for you. You need to understand what the real job needs are of this position. What do you need to accomplish? what are the challenges that you're going to face day one? I've talked about the author Lou Adler and his essential guide for hiring and getting hired. I think knowing what the real job needs are by discerning or the discernment process when you're interviewing is critical here, because if those real job needs don't result in you growing, then you may have to look elsewhere. If you've already done that and you could do that, you know, not even thinking about it, that may not be a growth piece. But what if there's a division? What if there's a company that's struggling to break through? And because of your background and new opportunity to grow and get out of your comfort zone, that's going to be that long-term piece that's going to pay dividends. So understanding what the real job needs are of any position. Hey, how much money do you need to raise? When do you need to get this product to market? And how much do I need to cut from this budget? What are some of the major challenges that I'm going to be hit with on day one? That's discernment. That's not found in a job description. That's found with a conversation with the hiring team or outside that industry. So you bring that to the table, Freddie, so you already know, you suspect what the real job needs are of this position. That's the discernment piece. But that discernment hopefully uncovers that opportunity for that long-term growth.
Wow. So are there some other questions that this job seeker should ask out loud or even internally as they're turning over these types of opportunities and trying to take a look at the long term?
Well, I think asking questions of the industry that you're trying to go into. You know, we've seen disruptions in a lot of different industries. The industries don't look the same decade after decade, right? Things change. And we could go through all the different sectors, and they have changed. I think the industries that you want to target, I think you should do your own discernment and create your own questions for the people that are in the midst of it. You know, we talk about healthcare, we talk about education, we talk about the nonprofit, we talk about IT. All of these have changed over the years. We need to be able to discern if this is going to be a good move, career move for us, and this is going to result in growth. I think we ask broader questions, more you know, macroeconomic type of questions about an industry and where it's going. And that should also help you to potentially uncover some of those pieces for growth. If you draw that lens back, Freddie, maybe not that company, but maybe that sector.
Interesting. Everybody, Joe McKenzie with us talking about taking that long view with regard to your career. And I know that you consult Lou Adler's book, The Essential Guide for Hiring and Getting Fired, or Hiring and Getting Hired. And I'm wondering, what does Lou Adler have to say about this this aspect of our discussion today about taking the long view?
Well, I've used this. Okay, this is not something I just grabbed today. This is something I've used with my clients for years. And, you know, I asked the question, if this job doesn't represent a career move, should you take it? And that's something that Lou Adler talks about, because he knows that compensation will come later if you grow and you learn new skills and you attain more a wider role. But he asked that question, do you take a career move that's lateral that you're not going to grow? And I think that's important to ask anybody. And that's an important question to ask ourselves, that, you know, when we're focusing on long-term professional growth, if we don't feel we're going to grow and this is a job we really want, we may have to look at some other options, other opportunities out there, because compensation, prestige, bigger title, that is, once again, can maybe just be a short-term impact for you. But without that growth piece, it may not pay long-term dividends. You may be forced to make a decision 18 months later because you feel stagnant or you don't see that opportunity to advance. That's why I think it has to be complementary when you have compensation and that growth piece for those new opportunities. They go hand in hand, Freddie. I really feel that should be the case when you are making career decisions.
We're just about out of time, Joe McKenzie, on a very important topic. If there is one thing that our listeners should consider this weekend as we're talking about making these long-term professional growth decisions, What would that be? What should we ponder over the weekend?
Think long term. Envision yourself 5, 10, 15 years out from there. Don't think of what you're just going to, where you're going to be on day one of year two. Think about where you're going to be day one of year 5 or 10 and where you want to be. And if those decisions needed to be made at this point in time, if you see that, go for it. Tackle it and secure that. But if not, be more discerning about that opportunity.
All right. Joe, we'll leave it right there. You do some fine work at Ripple Connects.
Yes, we do. We turn candidates into contenders.
And you're listening to New Beginnings.
RippleConnects.com, connecting you to your better future. Hi, I'm Joe McKenzie, founder of Ripple Connects and trainer of Ripple Effect Networking. Establishing and maintaining a strong professional network is critical to you and your organization's success. My techniques will help you stand out so you can create new sales opportunities, develop and sustain meaningful connections, grow your franchise or small business. If you want to schedule Joe McKenzie to speak to your organization, email me, joe.mckenzie@rippleconnects.com. Your network plus my techniques equals more success for you.
This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think real possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. You see, AARP is hosting free Movies for Grown-Ups screenings at theaters across the metro. They're helping protect families from identity theft and scams with the AARP Fraud Watch Network. And AARP volunteers are helping people in need complete their tax returns free of charge. So whether you're a caregiver, someone who's trying to save for retirement, or if you just want to save money and connect with friends and neighbors for fun at local events, then AARP has resources for you. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/Twin Cities.
Hi, everybody. Before we step aside to go to our next segment on New Beginnings, it's always a pleasure. And we do want to let you know that we do enjoy bringing you the program each week at this time on your favorite radio station. If you'd like more information about any of the programs that you hear from our experts and our list of people who are directly involved in the work that we share with you at New Beginnings, we invite you to call me at 888-639-9738. Now, you didn't know that telephone number was going to come at you so quickly. Here's that number once again, 888-639-9738. Also, you can go to my webpage. It's simply Freddie Bell, F-R-E-D-D-I-E-B-E-L-L, freddiebell.com, and click on the radio page, and it'll take you to New Beginnings. And there you can find this week's program and programs actually for the last 5 years. You can find that information right there on our website, simply freddiebell.com. Here's the telephone number again, 888-639-9738. There are many people like me who don't have a problem just picking up the telephone and calling. If you'd like to email me, it's simply freddie@freddiebell.com. F-R-E-D-D-I-E. Freddie@freddiebell.com. We'd love to hear from you. And if there are topics that you'd like for us to discuss that you haven't heard yet on New Beginnings, we'd love to entertain that thought. Still to come, we have more great information for you as we continue our program each week at this time on your favorite radio station. Again, freddiebell.com, the telephone number 888-639-9738. We always enjoy hearing from you, and thank you for making New Beginnings a point at listening each week. Right here.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to our program. And joining us now is an individual who is an expert in healthcare. I know there have been a lot of strides that have been made with regard to equality, but there's not yet been the kind of results that I think a lot of people are looking for. We're wondering what new laws were passed to improve health equity. Joining us now is Dr. Maria Hernandez. She is the founder and CEO of Impact for Health. What is helping to bridge that gap with our minority population?
Well, thanks so much, Freddie, for letting me join you today. You know, I think we're learning an enormous amount of lessons right now from the pandemic. And, you know, it's really unfortunate that it took this travesty to really shake up healthcare, but it is changing quite a bit. So let's just look at a couple of things. One is that we're aware that there are indeed these structural racism that really does impact the way people access healthcare. So in the pandemic, we learned right now, for example, that Blacks are dying at 3.6 times the rate of whites. For Hispanics, that's 2.8. For Alaska Natives, it's, you know, twice as much. And so what we're saying is that people have become aware there's something structurally wrong. And I think the couple of factors that we know are influencing this are, one, access to care. The second is unconscious bias actually happens inside the clinics or offices that we go to receive the care that we need. And the other is that sometimes we just don't even have a place to go in some of these rural communities where different ethnic groups might be concentrated. So there's a lot of different factors. And I think the pandemic, you know, if there's one small, you know, silver lining to this, is that we actually found how indeed these structural barriers exist.
Everyone, we're talking with Dr. Maria Hernandez. She is the founder and CEO of Impact for Health. Let me go backwards just a little bit. Tell us about Impact for Health, doctor.
Sure. What we do as a firm is we partner with health systems to help them assess how well they're doing around a number of things that are required to advance health equity. It's everything from the training that they provide their staff to the type of staff that they're hiring for the front lines to work with diverse patients, to their policies around even something as simple as translations that are done inside a healthcare system for people that don't speak English. It's a number of factors that we look at. And once we complete that assessment, we provide either training or policy strategy to help them really correct some of those deficiencies that we find in their system. We do this with a really great tool called the Inclusion Scorecard for Population Health. And right now, you can imagine, we're super busy. We're inside about 5 different health systems across the country conducting these assessments or already beginning to implement some of the recommendations.
And we hear these terms quite a bit about health equity, health inclusion. And the pandemic, I know, has brought a lot of this to the forefront, with over 600,000 people having lost their lives as a result of the pandemic. What is health equity? We hear that a lot in the news.
Yeah, so health equity means that everyone has a fair and just opportunity to achieve their best health, their optimal health. And that means that we've removed any kind of barriers around how they're accessing that healthcare, how they're accessing even, you know, fresh food and a safe place to live. So we really don't think of solving health inequities as just the thing that a hospital can do or just the thing that public health can do. This is really a systemic force inside a community to look at poverty, discrimination, the consequences of all of that, and having access to good education, again, housing and safe environments. So health equity means there's just the fair and just opportunity to get to that optimal state of health. And health inequities is different. Once we start to look at populations and observe how they're doing in terms of their health outcomes, we see that there are differences that are avoidable, that are unfair, or they're unjust, and they affect a certain group of people. So even before the pandemic, let me just give you one example of that. We knew, we knew that Black women were dying in childbirth at 2.5 times the rate of white women. And that figure approaches third world country status. So what was it that was going on? And I think, you know, there's many factors. One of those is how Black women are treated in healthcare. There is bias about how they are seen. And one example of that, if you remember Serena Williams, she almost passed away from a pulmonary embolism. It's a blood clot in the lungs. She had had those before. When she gave birth, she started to feel like she had that again and started coughing and coughing. And she actually broke her stitches from her C-section before attention to her. And you got to ask yourself, I mean, if you're Serena Williams and you're really, you know, very supported by family and you've got a lot of resources to, you know, get the care that you need and you're not being heard, can you imagine what happens to someone that doesn't have that kind of power, right? So that's an example of how we have to be very mindful of what happens to different populations once they get in the healthcare system. And we have to be honest about looking at that data and asking, does everyone here experience the same kind of care?
Earlier in our conversation, everyone, we're talking with Dr. Maria Hernandez, the CEO of Impact for Health. So you said this was systemic. How do we start to break down that particular barrier to effective healthcare for people of color and folks who are marginalized in our communities?
Yeah, so I think it starts with a lot of education and training, but it also requires legal parameters around how we do this work. So the good news is in California, where I'm based, we did pass legislation here that all OBGYN physicians will take a course on unconscious bias. It's one of the things our firm is doing right now in California. And I got to just share that, you know, the physicians that we engage in that course are just like everyone else. We all have unconscious bias. They really appreciate that awareness and they begin to think of different ways to engage their patients. So education, of course, is going to be part of the answer, but some of this is going to require legislation. And I will say that right now, I don't know how much your audience has heard of this, but there is a new Health Equity and Accountability Act of 2020. It has just started the legislative process. So you can imagine that whole sausage making factory of Congress is going to take that particular act and work through a number of committees to actually get something done. But I think these things do make a difference. Back in the early 2000s, we had the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services pass something called the Culturally and Linguistically Appropriate Service Acts, standards. It's called CLASS for short. And that started a lot of different organizations looking at how they approached that underrepresented and marginalized group, as you just said. And those help. But the other side of this is our own awareness. I've been telling many different groups that if you're about to go to the doctors and you've got a really significant concern about being heard or that you've got a lot of complexity to what's going on in your particular, conditions, it's important to take with you someone who's going to be your health advocate, someone who is part of the process of looking at how you're being treated and who can say for you, hey, you know, I don't think Fred's being heard here. You know, he needs a little bit more attention to this. And that kind of advocacy, I think, is also important for patients to know they have the right to do. And it's important for them to feel heard, to feel that the physician is actually paying attention to what their needs are. So those are a couple of things that I think are really important for us to think about now.
This pandemic, as devastating as it is, has really brought a lot of things to the forefront. And it's really, we're really thankful for organizations like Impact for Health to really take a close look, put a magnifying glass on it, and also put in some really great programs and services to bridge the inequities. Dr. Maria, how can we get more information about Impact for Health and reach out to you directly?
Hey, Freddie, it's terrific to be called Maria. Sometimes that doctor stuff gets in the way, you know. Come and listen to our podcast. We have a podcast called Centering Health Equity, and you can find information about that in our website, which is impactforhealth.com. And that's the number four. So impactforhealth.com.
Dr. Maria Hernandez with us, founder and CEO of Impact for Health. And you're listening to New Beginnings.
Minnesota is home to a robust network of more than 300 food shelves that may be able to offer additional food support to families and individuals who are suffering from hunger. Hunger Solutions can locate a food shelf near you. Call the Minnesota Food Helpline at 1-888-711-1151, 888-711-1151, or use the interactive map at hungersolutions.org. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi, everyone. I'm so excited that you're with us this weekend on New Beginnings. And as we continue, a team of behavioral researchers at Morningstar, using a survey from a University of Chicago survey, quantified how four biases lead people to have less in savings, more debt, and lower credit scores. Interesting. Based on survey responses, 1,200 participants were sorted into three buckets. 1, financially vulnerable, 2, financially coping, or 3, healthy. Any of these sound familiar? Loss aversion bias, when an investment falls below what we paid for it, our inclination is, rather than carefully reassess whether it remains a viable investment or not, to tell ourselves, I'll sell it when it gets back to my purchase price. What makes you believe it's going to bounce back? People afflicted with loss aversion bias were 1.5 times more likely to be in the vulnerable group than those with lower loss aversion. Overconfidence bias, we're often convinced when we are smarter than we are. Though decades of data has shown that most professional money managers won't beat the market, billions of dollars remain invested in actively managed mutual funds. It's overconfidence for most of us to believe that we have better information than others. Researchers found that people with a high level of overconfidence were 2.5 times more likely to land in the vulnerable group and 3.5 times less likely to save for retirement. We're talking about how personal biases can affect your investing, and then present bias. Delayed gratification isn't easy. Think about that. A dollar spent today on something that brings us pleasure is so much more enticing than stuffing that dollar into a retirement account that we won't use for decades. People who struggled the most with present bias were almost 2 times more likely to be in the vulnerable group. Low present bias people, though, are 7.5 times more likely to plan ahead for their future. Base rate neglect bias. These are people who can get swept away by a new piece of information that compels us to make a decision that we otherwise wouldn't if we carefully considered the probability of that piece of information being correct or useful. Participants in the bucket of a high level of base rate neglect were 1.75 times more likely to be financially vulnerable. To overcome present bias, automate your savings. To avoid getting caught up in new information, limit your risky behavior, and then finally carve out just 5% of your investments for day trading, according to the experts, and wild ideas. 2 other steps could include slow down and talk to a financial planner with an eye on the long term. And what about those bad labels? How can they affect trust in investors? All natural, eco-friendly, and green, we've seen it before. Food, home goods, and clothing companies have all jumped on the sustainable bandwagon, and it's not just because of their undying devotion to the environment. According to the 2019 Accenture Chemicals Global Consumer Sustainability Survey, more than half of consumers surveyed would pay more for sustainable, meaning recyclable or reusable products. But not every company is genuine in its pursuits of a cleaner planet or more equitable society. And making false or misleading claims about greenness can affect investor trust. Greenwashing is a misrepresentation of a product, service, or investment, making something appear to be more sustainable than it actually is. Environmental, social, and governance criteria are at the heart of ESG investing, which has grown significantly in popularity over the last several years. ESG criteria are factors that measure an investment's sustainability. Unfortunately, with the rise of consumer and investor interest in ESG comes the rise in greenwashing. This can lead some businesses, such as oil companies, to be included in funds that investors may not have expected. Critics have also called ESG and other forms of sustainable investing marketing ploys or scams, noting that sustainability is just a trend that companies are trying to capitalize on. One reason why greenwashing has been able to slip through the cracks when it comes to investment securities is that there are numerous ESG data providers. And because sustainable companies offer ESG evaluations, it can be difficult to know which ones to trust. Greenwashed investments, or investments not being what they claim, was the biggest concern for 44% of investors when it comes to ESG investing, that according to recent research from Quilter, a UK-based wealth management service. The field of sustainable investing is still relatively new, and while industry-wide standardization may still be a long time coming, there are ways to increase the green in your portfolio and hopefully your wallet. ESG funds usually publish impact reports, allowing investors to see real-world changes their investment dollars are making. Robo-advisors offer automated ESG investment portfolios, and so if you'd like professional help, you can also work with a financial advisor, of course, who has a chartered SRI counselor certification, which is a designation program designed to teach the best practices for socially responsible investing.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
Talking money this weekend on New Beginnings, I'm Freddie Bell, and let's talk this weekend about how to trace IRS child tax credits. The second round of advanced child tax credit payments hit millions of bank accounts last weekend. But the question is, what should you do if you didn't get your money? That could be a concern. Or what can you do if you've been waiting more than a month and didn't even get the first payment for July? It's tricky because, well, so much depends on a wide range of quite specific individual factors, that according to Susan Tompor. She's a personal finance columnist for the Detroit Free Press. She says many times there are not one-size-fits-all answers, and you're not going to be able to get a quick response by calling the Internal Revenue Service, she says, which has notorious delays on its phone lines at 800-829-1040. But also is still dealing with a backlog of tax refunds for 2020 returns, an adjustment that applies to early filers who were unemployed in 2020, and other issues as well as the child tax credit. We're talking about how to trace IRS child tax credits. Here's a look at a possible option that she offers and things to know about the advance child tax credit payments. First of all, the question is, how do I trace a missing child tax credit? Well, the IRS has a timeline, she says, for when you can even begin to track missing payments. She says if you've been waiting since July 15th, for example, for a payment, you might be able to put a trace on it right now. You do have to wait a bit, she says, if you're anxious about an August payment, which just began rolling out by direct deposit on August 13th. For example, the IRS hill you've waited 5 days since the deposit date, and the bank says it has not received the payment, or 4 weeks since the payment was mailed by check to a standard address, and 6 weeks since the payment was mailed and you have a forwarding address on file with the local post office. That's why you need a financial advisor to help in some of these cases. So I'll mention that again. For example, the IRS says you cannot trace the money until you've waited 5 days, and also, or 4 weeks since the payment was mailed by a check to a standard address, and 6 weeks since the payment was mailed and you have a forwarding address on file with the local post office. The question is the IRS sending out some July payments right now? The answer is yes, so you might want to read up on this one day before trying to track missing money. It's important for you to do your own research, she says. The IRS noted on August 13th that some families could be getting their first advance payments in August if they didn't get a July payment. Now, many families don't need to do anything to get this money. The IRS is basing monthly payments on the most recently processed tax returns, either the 2019 federal return or the 2020 return. The IRS also says that the August payments reflect information on tax returns that have been processed by August 2nd, including people who don't typically file a return but during 2020 successfully registered for Economic Impact Payments, the EIP, using the IRS non-filers tool on irs.gov. And finally, there's also a child tax credit update portal. You can find it at irs.gov. It can help you to figure out if you're enrolled to receive payments, put a stop to receiving any more advanced monthly payments in 2021, and also provide or update your bank account information for you this weekend on how to trace IRS child tax credits. We go from child tax credits to mortgage refinancing. There's a survey out there that says that many American homeowners are passing up a prime opportunity to lower their interest rates and to cut their monthly payments by refinancing their loans, that according to a new Bankrate survey. And while the savviest homeowners already refinanced, and some have even done so twice, millions more have yet to take advantage of mortgage rates that once would have seemed unthinkably low. Among homeowners with a mortgage they've had since before the pandemic, 74% have not. The overwhelming majority of mortgage borrowers, a huge majority of mortgage borrowers, have not yet refinanced despite record low rates over the past year. That according to Greg McBride, he's a CFA, Bankrate Chief Financial Analyst. He says cutting the monthly mortgage payment by $150 or $250, possibly more, can create valuable breathing room in the household budget at a time when so many other costs are on the rise. He goes on to say that among homeowners who haven't refinanced, the most cited reason was that they would not have saved enough money to warrant a refi. That choice was named by 32% of respondents. He says you may want to rethink that, according to McBride. Today's rates are at levels unseen prior to last year. To illustrate one example, stay with me because the numbers get a little tricky. Here's one example. If you have a 30-year loan for $300,000 per se at 4%, your monthly payment is about $1,432. Refinancing to 3% would cut it back to $1,265, or a savings of $167 a month or $2,004 a year. That could be significant. Closing costs and fees are the second most frequently cited objection. Fully 27% of respondents to the survey cited that as an obstacle. It's true, according to Mr. McBride, that closing costs can cost you thousands of dollars, typically 3-5% of the amount of the loan. However, he says if you can cut your rate significantly, you'll recoup those closing costs. Another common objection is that refinancing requires too much paperwork, a hurdle cited by 23% of those who have yet to refinance. Some 14% of those who have not yet refinanced say they plan to move or pay off the loan soon. That's a valid reason not to refinance because it can take years to pay off closing costs. So refinancing is best for homeowners who plan to keep their new mortgages for years. McBride goes on to say that 12% said their credit scores were too low to refinance. That could be another credible reason not to do so, but most mortgage borrowers in 2021 have higher credit scores. On-time mortgage payments are one of the best ways to boost your credit score, so make sure you're paying your loan promptly. You're listening to New Beginnings. We've talked to you this weekend about how to trace your IRS child tax credits and also how to take advantage of lower interest rates on your mortgage. Our program continues right now, and you're listening to New Beginnings.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
The Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, Minnesota Family Investment Program, MFIP, and WIC Nutrition, along with other available programs, can help you buy food while budgets are tight. SNAP, MFIP, and WIC benefits can help families access additional support as well, including health screenings, emergency assistance, nutrition education, and employment training. Apply online at applymn.dhs.mn.gov. This message is powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think real possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. You see, AARP is hosting free Movies for Grown-Ups screenings at theaters across the metro. They're helping protect families from identity theft and scams with the AARP Fraud Watch Network. And AARP volunteers are helping people in need complete their tax returns free of charge. So whether you're a caregiver, someone who's trying to save for retirement, or if you just want to save money and connect with friends and neighbors for fun at local events, then AARP has resources for you. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/Twin Cities.
As New Beginnings continues, we now take you to the spirituality portion of our program, where we introduce the senior minister of Unity South Twin Cities, the Reverend James Stacy. We now join Reverend Stacy with a program already in progress.
What is unity today? What does it mean to you? I want you to think about it, not just during this lesson, but also think about it throughout this coming week.
At least, it deserves at least that much time to reflect on it. Now, for some people, from my experience, unity means oneness or connection with everyone. For some people, unity means a positive outlook on life, trying to see the good, the best, and bring it into expression. For some people, unity means a teaching in which all religious paths are honored, for they all lead to God. For others, unity is a spiritual community where you are welcomed, respected, and empowered to be your true and highest self. Again, I ask, what does unity mean to you? So before we can consider what is unity today, we might look back 132 years ago and see how it got started. Just the gist of it, not great detail, so everybody relax. But the Fillmores wrote in that first issue of Unity magazine in 1891, the following. And they didn't put a byline on it. I suspect that it's Charles, but Myrtle could be pretty intense in her speaking for truth as well. But sometimes they came across with almost a fanatical style, because what they were presenting was quite a new thought in their day. And so they wrote this in the opening of Unity magazine. A very little common sense will show you that you are sustained body and soul by that invisible cause which ever wells up in you and will always manifest as the silent builder when you heed its monition, be still and know that I am God. It is within you and without you, in a pulsating sea of life and intelligence, simply awaiting your recognition of its presence. Do not let the shallow reasoning of your companions and friends who float in the thin scum of effects deter you for an instant from looking to the omnipotent cause for our strength in all the affairs of life. This world is full of silly creatures who float about for a time in a maze of materiality, only to go out in the end like snowflakes. We say to you that first cause is an intelligent, all-powerful principle of life and light, which will demonstrate itself to you personally, as it has to us, if you will bring yourself mentally into proper relations with it. Let your thoughts dwell upon God's love and power for but 15 minutes each day, and you shall find that a blessing is being poured out upon you such as you never dreamed possible. One of my favorite Unity ministers and a teacher that taught me many courses as I prepared for ministry. We both love the drama of this piece. And so when we meet at Unity conferences, we probably see each other at a distance and we're still 30 feet away and we say, thin scum of effects. We have a lot of fun with that, and it is dramatic, but it does make its point. They were challenging people to think about living only in the outer world of materiality, of the physical, or with their discovery of taking time to go within and really know your connection with God. For that is your power in all circumstances. Now, unity was a very new thought. As a matter of fact, new thought became the name of the movement that included unity, divine science, homes of truth, and many other organizations. Some still with us today, and some did their work and faded away. The idea shifted the focus from religious morality to religious science or knowledge about the God-designed human being. What are we, spiritual human beings, creations of the infinite? As we strive to understand, we learn of our divine inheritance. As the book of creation, Genesis, states, we are created in the image and likeness of God. Unity takes that very seriously. Or in the words of Paul, a favorite mystic of Charles Fillmore, we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If we just use that little bit of common sense that the Fillmore suggested, how can we be brought forth from the infinite, all-powerful spirit of life that gave us birth and not have a connection to that as a resource for every need? If we will but, as the Fillmore said, bring ourselves into right relationship with the creative power, it birthed us. It sustains us with every breath. Couldn't we also turn to it for guidance, for healing, for supply, for harmonizing our relationships, our community, our world? Myrtle, in her healing experience that I alluded to, described three steps, very simple, but powerful in her experience. Step one was she realized a need. She needed healing if she was going to stay on this planet, as she put it. So she went to God.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the Senior Minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, RippleConnects.com.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. This is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.